This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
You know, when your voice is shot and you can hear the music in your ear, and the music just continues just to beat you to a pulp, no matter how hard you try, the music just does this, Wes. It's like that guy taking fireball shots on the front nine as you had him down, too.
All right.
That's how I felt.
He was on my team, by the way.
That's even more unfortunate.
The prescriptions for Packer are starting to roll in.
Well, that's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry English, longtime viewer of the Packer and Durham program. We've had 93 episodes. I think Jerry's seen many of them. Jerry, thank you as always.
What's Jerry say?
Jerry says that this is a simple fix, American honey, bourbon, and fireball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where's the needle with the vitamin B?
I'll you go don't there want first. To do the...
I'm not doing the needle, man.
I know you're not.
You're like Delma
Huddle in North Dallas 40. You don't want the needle.
I will shut up for four straight days before I do the needle.
By the way, for you movie buffs, you sports movie buffs, are you ready for this one? Delma Huddle in North Dallas 40, you remember the character, was played by Tommy Reman. Tommy Reman was Michael Vick's high school football coach.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Delma Huddle was Michael Vick's high school football coach at Warren.
See, that's what we do. We just tie the whole thing into the ACC again.
We have secret video we're working to acquire. Debbie Antonelli throwing a football into the basket at Maryland last night.
You told me about this. I didn't see
it. Three-point line. We got all that. We got topics going here. We got Florida State Clemson, Florida State of the 90s against the current Clemson run. Which one's better? 844-SAY-ACC, and we got some basketball conversation. We got Andrea Adelson at the bottom of the hour.
We got three ACC games tonight, conference games.
We got three ACC games tonight. Miami-Louisville on ESPN2 is at 7. That's Reese Davis, John Crispin, Brooke Weisbrod, by the way, at the Yum Center. Virginia at Boston College on ACC Network with Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee, followed by Virginia Tech at Syracuse with Chris Cotter and Chris Spatola.
Till I get an apology, we called one of my dogs Scooter. He will be known as Curtis Spatola. And if he doesn't apologize, I'm good with it because he's a good dude, but you can't screw up the dog's name. You can butcher my name all you want. I don't care about that. But it's not Scooter, Curtis. That goes, too, for my man Jim Mita Perrell.
John Mita Perrell.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Scooter. Called Fuller Scooter.
That's what we called him. That's his name, right? Oh, yeah. That's his name. Scooter. Yeah. The boys are all over.
Drew and Josh, the Lumberjacks, are running the show. We got a bark and bite in this hour, too.
Oh, of course. Love bark and bite.
Yeah.
And all conference cuts.
Okay. Before we get to
Clemson conference.
We're going to do some Clemson conference cuts. Before we get to that, let's go to Ashley in South Carolina.
Sure.
Ashley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Had to correct Mark on the Clemson president. We refer to him as the evil Max Lennon.
I left the evil part out. Sorry.
That's right. I was there for the 80s. I sat through the Punt Ruski. I thought that was the best of times. I had no idea. I had no idea it was going to be such a run. But I just wanted to compare how we are winning as far as between the two, between Clemson and Florida State. What I remember from the 90s for Florida State is, as Steve Spurrier referred to it, as Free Shoes University. You know, Lavernius Coles and Peter Warrick going on their shopping spree at Dillard's, and we'd bring the Dillard's bags to the games, the free shoes, the shopping at Foot Locker. The way Clemson is winning, I mean, if you do something wrong, Dabo is going to sit you, and you're going to have to really work hard to get back on the team. You don't hear people getting in trouble. People don't want to disappoint Dabo. And look at the graduation success rate. I know it's a different time, and you didn't have those in the 90s, but we're doing amazing things in the classroom, and players are graduating in 2 and 3 years, and that's just unheard of. It's an amazing run, and I'm really proud of what we're doing in the classroom and how we're doing it. And I think these are two great teams during these periods of time. But the way we're winning now is incredible. And I also want to say my Christmas cards were a huge hit. I hope you got your 500 Christmas cards.
We did. Got our pictures taken.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Yes. That's Ashley.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. It's very kind of you. We made a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Which wasn't our own. It was theirs.
And I wish I had more of them because I would have handed them out as ours. They were that good. They were spectacular.
Thank you very much for asking us to do that. So, I think they're two different landscapes.
That's correct.
I think that's the part we're working through here. And that's when Mark and I started this conversation back toward the end of the regular season. I felt then, as I feel now, that the ACC just had football teams. They didn't have football programs. And I'm not trying to diminish anything that was done by Maryland of the 70s with Jerry Claiborne or Carolina and NC State late 70s, early 80s. Or
the Clemson. Maryland in the 80s.
Maryland in the 80s with Bobby Ross. Fantastic. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish any of that. I'm just telling you that when Florida State came in this league, it changed the game.
It did.
It changed the game. And when they went 70-2 and did not lose an ACC game until a Thursday night, Warrick Dunn got hit by Anthony Poindexter at the goal line in Charlottesville, I just felt like the ACC was continually playing catch up. I think as dominant as Clemson has been.
So with that said, hold on a second. With that said, when we put the graphic up an hour ago.
About the margin of wins in senior classes.
In classes.
Right.
The Florida State, as great as they were, and they were awesome.
Right.
The margins, though, Wes.
I know, Pac.
And that's why here's the shot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Clemson plus 22.
And Florida State's nowhere close to that number. Not even in the neighborhood of that number.
It's 8 to the closest. That is a lot. Dude, that's a year. That's a year.
That's right. It's a season.
I mean,
and that's why this is an interesting debate. And by the way, we could also do Clemson class 2015-18 in the numbers stupid. I mean, we're just using the current class as we have it. And as great as those Florida State teams were in the late 80s throughout the entire decade of the 90s, the difference between where Florida State was in terms of wins and the next closest ACC team, again, it's a significant number, but not even close to what Clemson's doing right now to the league.
All right, I got a homework project for the Lumberjacks here before we get to conference cuts. And I know we're running late on conference cuts. We'll get to it in a second, I promise. A caller referenced an ESPN article about the playoff. If it were 20 years ago, Florida State would be in it like 14 times.
Right. If it was,
did you see that?
No, the point of it was.
Did you see the article?
I did.
Okay.
But the point of it was that if we had the BCS where, hey, it was 1-2, and there were a lot of years that Florida State would have been in it.
Yeah.
To play for a national championship.
Correct.
That, and in all likelihood, they were not in it because, for whatever reason it is.
If it were college football playoff, though, they'd be in it every year for...
Right. They were one of the top four teams in America.
For 14 years.
For 14 years. So they would have been in it for 14 years. And surely, you like your chances with that talent, and Bobby Bowden is your coach. I'll take my chances to win two games, win another national championship.
Here's what I'll say about Florida State, and I think Clemson's having the same effect. You did not have to be a Florida State fan then or a Clemson fan now to have a player on those teams that you're like, man, I like that guy. Okay? I mean, for me, it was always Shadetree Jones. Hmm. I love Shadetree Jones. I thought that guy was unbelievable.
It's Charlie Ward for me.
Okay.
I thought Charlie Ward was super cool, still is.
And when
humble, an incredible athlete. Obviously, yeah. So good that he was awesome in football and decided to play in the NBA. I mean, what are we talking about?
Unbelievable guy.
Love Charlie Ward.
And I think Clemson has the same effect. I think they're guys who are fans of other teams.
Danny Cannell. Just kidding. I love Cannell.
I was Shadetree Jones. Shadetree Jones and Andre Wadsworth, the defensive end, who was just a – and Corey Simon, who – unfortunately, ended Georgia Tech's nights on a regular basis for a couple of years.
Yeah, but you weren't a homer, so you just did the game.
Right. The other idea is that you get that same effect, I think, with Clemson. I think they're fans of other schools in the ACC who are like, man, that guy right there, that's a player. Whether it's Isaiah Simmons, whether it was Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Furrell, whatever.
But, Wes, we all know that if you continue to stay at the top, Florida State went through it. Alabama's been through it. Clemson's in the midst of doing it. The more you stay at the top, the higher you get on that ladder,
the harder it is.
Well, the more shots you take.
Yeah. Oh,
people
yeah.
are looking to nitpick you to death. And to be honest with you, I thought Clemson football kind of went through that with the national media this past year.
Absolutely.
Where people were like, well, we can't rag them because they win all the time. So let's make fun of who they play.
Right.
And, I mean, got nothing to do with what Clemson's doing.
That's it.
I mean, so, and that's just part of the deal. That's true whether we're talking about a team, a television show, a movie, a superstar, whatever. I mean, the higher you get, the more shots you take from everybody else.
All right, let's roll through conference cuts, shall we? Andrea Adelson joins us at the bottom of the hour. Tigers were at the microphone yesterday ahead of next Monday night's national championship game. And we start Isaiah Simmons, who talks about the challenges of stopping Joe Burrow and the Bayou Bengals on offense.
I mean, honestly, yeah, the offense did really, really good, obviously. Now, number one scoring offense in the nation, Heisman quarterback, Blitnikoff, list keeps going on. But, yeah, they're very, very elite offense. And the mistakes we made last game, we won't be able to make this game because they'll definitely get us beat.
Interesting. Good stuff there.
Great. A major factor Monday night.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him without his cape.
You will. Wow. I guarantee you Joe Burrow's watched a few minutes of
you
tape.
You think?
And you think, like, man, look at this dude. He is all over the football field.
Justin Ross talked about the reputation of the ACC and the pressure on Clemson to repeat.
I mean, a lot of people, they try and downplay the ACC, but, I mean, we're a powerhouse. We're a powerhouse, too. I feel like we're right there with the ACC.
I like it. Succinct, to the point.
It's kind of like you.
Yeah. T. Higgins.
No fluff.
Settle the bait. T. Higgins got brought into this conversation about Death Valley, and he tried to settle that debate.
I knew this question was going to come. I'm going to say yes. You know, I mean, obviously I play here, but, you know, I'm going to just say, I mean, they have, their fan base is really crazy up there. And I mean, I see videos of their fan base. And, I would love to play in something like that. But, you know, our fans are really great, too. You know, our fans show love no matter what, no matter what the weather is. So, I mean, I feel like we had a real Death Valley.
You know what, Wes? I know we were going to hear that ad nauseum as we get closer to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
This one, and for people that write and say things, just do a little homework. I mean, 5 minutes of homework. The original Death Valley is in Clemson, South Carolina. Tiger, and I used to work at LSU. LSU became Death, D-E-A-F, Valley. Then they went, that thing that Clemson's doing is cool. Death Valley. I mean, Clemson started this. LSU stole it. It's that simple. There are two phenomenal places to watch games. Like I said, I've worked at both places. I get it. I love both schools. They're tremendous. But Death Valley started in Clemson SC, period. It's not even a debate. And if somebody tries to debate you on it, they're either an idiot, a fool, or they've done no homework. It's that simple. I mean, it's stupid that people get in these arguments. Is that direct to the point, like you like it?
Pretty succinct, okay. Right there.
Just, I mean, I'm just telling you, just do
it's a fastball at the top of the zone right
just
there.
Just do a little right there. Homework.
Right at the top of the strike zone.
It won't hurt you. It won't cost you anything. It'll take you 5 minutes of time, and you'll look it up and go, well, yeah, it's pretty simple. It started in Clemson. Two great places to watch games. I mean, awesome places to watch games.
Amari Rodgers reminded everybody not to forget about Clemson's offensive firepower, too.
I mean, yeah, but it's been like that all year. I mean, everybody's been overlooking the offense, but, you know, we just keep doing what we've been doing all year, playing good, playing disciplined, just going out there and making plays. So hopefully we can do it in this game, too.
All right. We'll close this with A.J. Terrell talking about the mentality of Clemson's defense in the red zone next Monday night.
Yeah, we just pride ourselves as a defense to – not give up the big points. We'd rather a team get no points or 3 points in the red zone. So we just pride ourselves on that when we get down there, just not let nobody score.
All right. Big shout-outs to Upstate Media as well for the positioning of the microphone flags. YFF, SPA, all of them did a great job. And so did the Clemson Insider, which I think is one of the websites that covers the Tigers too.
Tremendous.
Yeah, great job with the mic flags. That's why you have them.
But you know what? What AJ said, I think, is the key of the game.
Right.
Red zone defense on both sides.
Oh, no doubt.
Sevens versus threes.
Yep.
Don't believe me? Ask Ohio State how that feels.
Yep.
That's the difference in the ballgame.
We've got full coverage of the college football playoff title game starting on Saturday. And then we got you covered on Monday for sure. In fact, Monday coverage of the college football playoff is going to start with Packer and Durham. How about that? We're going to get that at 7.
Well, I would hope so. We've been starting the ACC network in the morning since we started, right?
Yeah, we're going to start that on Monday. We'll be live in New Orleans on Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Beautiful.
Another show on the road. We'll be closing in on 100 shows, by the way, next week.
Hope to have the voice by then.
So do I. You may be, here we go, look at here. See Packer and Durham? That's Monday at 7. The huddle before the game for 2 hours. And after the game as well from the field of the Superdome. And next Monday night, you'll get the Clemson radio call. Right here. Don Munson, Tim Bure, Cast of Thousands, Brad Scott will be in the booth with them. You get it all covered for you. Sideline will be Reggie Merriweather on the Clemson Radio Network, right here on ACC Network. More conference cuts with the Tigers. Travis Etienne, Isaiah Simmons, the former Purple Hurricane, and Dabo Swinney. Oh, in the mood lighting segment of the conference cuts. All that and more coming up, Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement. Get the picture. Wes Durham, Mark Packer. And even as I get closer to the microphone,
it gets worse.
It gets worse.
It does get worse, yeah.
All right, we have more conference
We have people
cuts.
Suggesting bourbon and hot water. We have bourbon and lemon.
Let me just say something.
We have all sorts of home elixirs being offered to you.
Hold on a second. And I really appreciate everybody sending Wes, I'm assuming to you because I've not looked at my Twitter feed yet, remedies for my vocal cords.
Yeah.
Let me help everyone out a second. I have had so much bourbon and honey and lemon and hot tea. I've had enough of that for the last 3 weeks to last me a lifetime. So you got to think out of the box. And I'm not taking a needle of vitamin B. That's not happening either. So if you're going to send a remedy, it's got to be something other than lemon, honey,
or an injection.
Hot tea, injection, or bourbon. And I hate saying that. You know how much I hate saying that. So come up with something other than that. Chicken soup. I've done the chicken soup. Don't take chicken soup out of the way, too. Doesn't work. Tastes great. Doesn't work.
No needles.
No needles for me. No ocean. No horses. Unless we're at the Derby. No needles. That's it. It's a short list. So come up with something good. I'll try anything at this point.
You feeling better?
I feel like $1 million.
Great.
Except for this right here.
You just sound like 35 cents.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and I sound like I must feel miserable, but I feel great.
All right. Let's resume with conference cuts, shall we?
We shall.
Travis Etienne at the microphone yesterday talked about a homecoming game of sorts in Louisiana.
I mean, yeah, definitely a great opportunity to go out there. Kind of redeem myself from my freshman year, getting to playing the dome and just not having a great game and not finishing off with a W. So it's kind of great and an opportunity to go out there and revenge that loss. But it's also a unique opportunity in itself, being a kid from Louisiana. Getting to play in a Superdome against the home state team for a national championship. You couldn't script this up any better, but, I mean, you definitely have to go out there and take care of business.
It's interesting Travis Etienne brings up the last time they played at the Superdome. Because if you remember that game, Clemson had knocked off Bama the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Bama had chip on shoulder. I remember doing the interviews in New Orleans leading into that game, and Alabama looked like I stole something from them. I mean, it was like they walked in there. There were no smiles. There was no laughing. Clemson was loose, and they normally are loose. But Bama had an attitude for that game in the opening kickoff of that game. If you go back and watch it, Travis Etienne gets the ball, and some dude comes out of left field and hits him so hard and knocks him the next week. Travis Etienne wasn't the same the rest of the night.
Right.
He, and the, for the fact that he brings that up, he knows. You know, there's some unfinished business for him personally.
Yeah.
And that building going back home, that'll be, and he is a key to the game, I think, for Clemson to win the game. They have got to establish the run better than they did against Ohio State, who did a really good job stopping Travis Etienne running from the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Problem was, they didn't do a very good job once he caught it out of the backfield.
Right.
So, very important point he brings up.
Yeah, no question. And you admire the kid.
Oh, man.
Just what a two-time ACC player of the year, and you just – he's been a phenomenal player. By the way, some of the reports last week really bothered me about some of the stuff with his parents in Louisiana.
Oh, pathetic. The threats.
Yeah,
man,
really?
LSU fans threatening the family. I mean,
really?
On, man. Hey, it's entertainment. For us, it's an entertainment. It's a game. Enjoy the sport. These kids that put it on the line, man, they would have worked their tails off
right.
to be in this position. And if you're stupid enough to threaten somebody like that, man, you really need to check yourself.
Yeah. Isaiah Simmons had more to talk about when he talked about the pressure that his team feels.
I would say more excitement than pressure. We're more excited to try to make history opposed to feeling like it's something we have to do. It's a great opportunity that we would love to take advantage of, obviously, but just from the beginning of the season, Coach Sweeney always told us, he's like, this number one, we're preseason number one, but that means nothing at all. This is a brand new team. Last year's team did that, so it doesn't really have anything to do with us. As far as we're concerned, we're 14-0 opposed to 29-0, but 30-0. But he also preached to us that 30-0 is what it was going to take if we wanted to get it done. We weren't going to get any gimmies of losing. If we lost a game, we knew we would have no shot, no matter if it was early in the season, late in the season. So 30-0 obviously is what we knew it was going to take, but, you know, we think of 14-0 opposed to that.
Clemson also 10-1 against the SEC since 2016, including going 6-1 against the SEC West. Mm. They have been good, 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 man.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence gave some insight into the legacy of this year's senior class for the Tigers as well.
I think it just, you know, further cements the legacy of this team and this, you know, this era of football for Clemson and just how special it's been and, you know, what these guys, especially these seniors, have been able to do. They've been here for, you know, every national championship besides the one in 15, or I guess it was 16, that they lost to Alabama. But other than that, all the ones that we've won, these seniors have been there for. So really special for them if we win this game to go out. Three national championships is, you know, it's pretty unique.
Hmm. Good stuff there. And finally, Dabo Sweeney gives us some perspective and talked about what a win would mean for this particular Tiger team.
What would it mean? It would be just an unbelievable moment. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, we're 30-0. I mean, we won 30 games in a row and beat the very best of the best to do it in three out of the last four national championships. I mean, it would be special. The senior group would walk out of here. I think the seniors of 12 at Alabama, the seniors of 49 at Notre Dame, I think that's the only other senior group that could say they won three out of four national championship, but there'd be only one senior group that could say they did it in the playoff era.
Hmm. Somebody's been reading them history books.
Yeah.
Somebody's been reading those history books.
They understand it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, halfway home on a Tuesday show.
All right.
Andrea Adelson's going to join us, and potentially we get more recommendations to fix your voice from Andrea.
I'm all for it.
And she's fighting the, you know, it's travel. You get sick, you get some cold, maybe kids, you never know what you got, right? We'll check all that out. Andrea Adelson joins us from ESPN.com. When Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday, kids, right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network, streaming live.
Just, you know what?
Wait a minute. Let me get this one in. streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yeah.
Not to mention SiriusXM, channel 371.
Yeah.
See, if I slow it down, it still sounds awful.
Yeah, it does. Real bad.
But thank God Andrew Adelson's here to help me.
For a lot of reasons. One, we're always glad to have Andrea Adelson on this show.
Yes, we are.
That's number one.
No doubt.
Number two, I forgot to ask you this. Are you going to New Orleans, by the way?
I am going to New Orleans. I'm prepping by drinking a lot now. Is that the way you're supposed to prepare to go to New Orleans? I'm not sure about that.
I mean, we can't add anything else to that. I mean, that's exactly it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so good. That is so okay. good. You have a story out today on ESPN.com how Clemson has ripped the torch from Alabama as the premier program in the country. Oh, my goodness. You're going to hear about this.
That's right.
I live to hear about this from the folks on Twitter. I cannot wait to open up the mentions later this morning. And the first thing I'm going to say about this is, who's playing for the national championship this year? Is it Clemson or is it Alabama?
Right.
Okay, that's part one of the discussion point here in the story. But, you know, a lot of what I wrote about today was the changing perception of Clemson compared to when they first started this run in 2015. You know, we talked about this last week on the show. They're not little old Clemson anymore. In fact, a lot of the players I talked to kind of compare themselves to what the Patriots have built, because they've been feeling this backlash now, specifically this season, not just from fans outside Clemson, but also from the national media trying to tear down what Clemson has accomplished, not just this year, but also going back to the national championship game against Alabama a year ago. And so the shifting narrative surrounding Clemson, I think, has been so fascinating to watch as we've seen it develop, because it's a little bit mind-blowing to me when I think about the fact that there are going to be people out there rooting for the evil empire of conferences, the SEC, over Clemson, because they're sick and tired of seeing Clemson win at this point.
Well, that just proves the point then, from that standpoint, right?
There's no question. I thought they ripped it from Alabama's hands in the Bay Area about a year ago, because that was not just beating Alabama. That was embarrassing Alabama. That was like, let's take a knee to make sure we don't score half a hundred and run Nick Saban's greatest team of all time. I mean, the national narrative was so destroyed in the Bay Area that people in the national media made excuses for 7 months that had nothing to do with Clemson. It had everything to do around Clemson. So, to be honest with you, Andrea, you know, your point is right on. You know, somebody's going to be sitting on the couch watching Clemson play Monday night. The Tigers right now have the premier program in college football, period.
There's no doubt about that. And when you get to the mountaintop, as Tanner Muse had said to me and Gage Cervenka as well, everyone wants to try and knock you off the mountaintop. And that's the situation that Clemson is facing going into this game. But on the flip side of it, you know, we sit here and we're like, well, Clemson's not the lovable underdog anymore. Yet they are the underdog in this game. And so that continues to play into the way Dabo Swinney loves to motivate this team, to add fuel to the fire. All these guys know that nobody wants to see them win, and yet they continue to say, well, that's just because we're the underdog, even though they've won the national championship and they've been ranked number one how many times over the course of the last several seasons. So this motivation, I think, is so interesting the way it works both ways. You can sit here and say, well, nobody believes in us, but you can also say, well, nobody believes we're going to win. And I know Dabo talked about that at Media Day yesterday, the fact that people are counting them out. We hope we can at least score a touchdown and stay in the game with these guys. You know, you're already starting to see that from Dabo, and a lot of that is to play to the national media, but most of it is to play to his players so that they understand they can get into the game and be absolutely fired up and motivated, knowing that they're going into a hostile environment in New Orleans, a place that's probably going to be filled with LSU fans who've been drinking for the last 2 weeks and are going to do whatever it takes to try and lead those guys to win.
Well, they've also enjoyed being the underdog, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Dabo's 7-2 straight up as an underdog in the postseason. So, you know, whatever Vegas says is fine. Great. You got to go play the game. And this LSU team is terrific. They're great. They're fun to watch. Coach O's an easy guy to root for. Joe Burrow's been a great story.
Yep.
But Clemson will be very, very comfortable walking into the place where everybody's rooting against them, being a 6-7 point underdog, and being under those bright lights, that is almost like a perfect pair of jeans, your favorite jeans. That's exactly what Clemson likes, to be honest with you.
Well, no doubt about that. And when I talked to Gage Cervenka during the Ohio State lead up, he said he loves going into hostile environments and it's a good pressure. I said, good pressure? What's good pressure? And he said, basically, it's this feeling that everybody is against you. And now you have this pressure to prove your own fans right. Why are you guys sticking with us? Why do you believe in us? Why are you rooting for us? It's because you think that we can go in there and shut people up and change the narrative. And I don't necessarily know how much the narrative changes about Clemson, even if they win this game, because of where they are at this point. I think people are going to continue to want to see them get knocked down and find somebody else to now pick up the torch from where Clemson is. But Clemson isn't going anywhere, no matter what happens in this game. And we can fast forward to 2020, which everyone's going to do next Tuesday. Guess who's probably going to be ranked number one headed into 2020? It's Clemson. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is going to be back. This is a really young team. People don't even talk about the fact that this is a team filled with underclassmen. And you look at the signing class they just inked, number one in the ESPN rankings. Everything is set up for Clemson to continue this domination over the course of the next several seasons. And that's when you start to get into this area where people are tired of you. Nobody wants to see you win. They start disparaging you. They call Dabo Swinney a whiner when 5 years ago they loved the fact that he was sticking up for his team and that he was dancing and he was out there being emotional and wearing his heart on his sleeve. People view him differently now, even though he's no different at all. He's the same Dabo. Yeah. This is the same Clemson. It's just the fact they've won 29 in a row. People want to see a new team in there.
Andrea, we've been having fun today talking about Florida State of the 90s that went 70-2 in their first 9 years in the ACC and the run that Clemson is on. And Pack has done some traditional Mark Packer research comparing senior classes and margins of victories over the next closest and all those type things. You know, we are all distinguished enough or experienced enough to have seen both. Do you lean one way or the other in this discussion? I mean, I certainly respect what Clemson has done. I'm not saying anything about what Clemson's done not being impressive. I just thought Florida State brought football to the forefront in this league. And when they came in this league, they did so with such an authority and a success that it forced everybody else to get better. Now, Pack's numbers bear out that Clemson is dominating this league more than Florida State did 20-some years ago, almost 30 years ago now, I guess.
Well, I have a couple of ways that I'm looking at this. Number one, I grew up in Florida. And right. So for me, the Florida State teams of the 90s, seeing them battle against Miami, those have a special place in my own love for college football, the way that it made me want to be a college football writer. And I also looked up a couple of things. Number one, we just put out in August an all-time, all-ACC team forever. And there were seven Florida State players from those 90s teams that made the list. That was so far ahead of everybody else, it wasn't even close. And so when I think about Florida State of the 90s, I don't just think about the domination. I think about the all-time players that Florida State had, whether we're talking about Work Dunn or Charlie Ward or Derek Brooks, Peter Boulware, guys that absolutely dominated at their positions. A couple of offensive linemen from Florida State made that team as well. And when we were debating what quarterback should make that team, I was voting for Charlie Ward. Deshaun Watson ultimately won. But to me, Charlie Ward, you talk about Florida State changing the ACC. I think Charlie Ward changed the quarterback position as well and helped pave the way for a guy like Deshaun Watson to come in and do this. And the other stat is they didn't finish lower than number four at any point over the course of that decade. So that's where I add in the caveat of this is TBD, because Clemson's only just getting started. You know, let's see what happens throughout the course of this run, which essentially really started at about 2013, 14, maybe 12, but not as dominant until about 15. Whereas Florida State had that continued level of success throughout the entire 90s that is, when you think about it, is so incredible. Not only that, they had a foil in Miami, who was also ranked that high throughout the course of that period. Clemson has a chance to beat them in national championships, and that's going to be a huge deciding factor, I think, too. But I still think we got a few more years to wait on Clemson, and then we can sit here and start looking at the numbers over a 10-year period.
Andrea, I don't think we'll ever see another team as great as Florida State over a period of time. I mean, I'm not talking about just ACC. I'm talking about anybody. I mean, as great as Nick Saban has done in Alabama, hey, they're not going to be in the top four this year. They're not. But what Bobby Bowden did was unbelievable. And you mentioned Miami as a foil, but, you know, the Florida Gators were really good, too. Steve Spurrier had some unbelievable teams when he got it going on. And for Bowden to be able to do that in the ACC, that consistency, that good, that excellence, we'll never see that again. Never.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. And, you know, obviously, in hindsight, it's a lot easier to judge these teams than when you're sitting here in the moment and you're caught up in all of the narratives and who's this and who's that and who's the best. But over time, when you sit back and reflect on what Florida State accomplished over that time period, I mean, even in the moment, you could sit there and talk about how dominant they were, but you don't have an appreciation for it until it's gone. And I know Florida State fans are probably feeling that way now because of how difficult it has been for this program to get back to that level. I don't think anyone can get back to that level because times have changed and things are so different in college football right now. But certainly, some of those losses that prevented Florida State from winning national championships, whether it was to Miami or whether it was to Florida, that they would have been in the playoff had it been a different system, the way that it is set up right now, where they would have had an opportunity to win more championships. So I agree with you completely. I mean, that era in Florida, when you're talking about Miami and Florida and Florida State, all those teams winning championships in the 1990s, you know, as somebody who grew up in Florida, who went to the University of Florida, who watched all these teams play intimately, it's always going to have a special place in my heart. And I've just got a greater appreciation for it because it's been a lot more difficult now for those programs to get back up there.
Andrea, I said earlier, I think Florida State and Clemson are also the type teams that even if you don't like the schools, you still have your favorite player from those teams. And for me, it was always like Shadetree Jones at Florida State. And I know you grew up in Florida, you went to Florida, but did you have a favorite Florida State player in the 90s that you were like, man, that guy is so good?
You mean a player I wished had stopped playing for Florida State so that my teams could actually win? You know, there were a couple that that stand out. You know, Warwick Dunn has always been a favorite of mine. Not just because of the way he played, but the way that he carried himself. Just so incredibly humble, even though he was destroying people on the football field. And then everything that he did off the field to help people. I mean, that really spoke to me, even though he played for Florida State. You know, he was always one of my favorite players. Same goes for Derrick Brooks. I mean, watching those two guys play, you really sat back and were able to sit there and say, I'm probably going to be watching two Hall of Fame players at this point, even in the moment, and to see what those guys did in the NFL and how they were able to carry on their legacies, both on the field and obviously off the field in the community. Those are two guys that I always never wanted to see them do well against my teams, but if they weren't playing my teams, two guys that I always thought were terrific ambassadors for the game.
Great stuff. We'll see you in New Orleans. Hopefully Pac's voice is going to be back to 100% by then.
No doubt.
I feel confident we're going to find the magic pill here before too long.
Gargle with salt water, Pac. That's the solution right there.
I was thinking maybe a couple of hurricanes just to practice before I got down to the French Quarter. Yeah.
Thanks, Andrea. Appreciate it. All right. Andrea Adelson of ESPN.com, and, of course, she covers the ACC. By the way, the article we have referenced a couple times, you read it, and Bill Conley, who has not been with us on this show but does a phenomenal job with analytics of college football.
Great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's just tremendous. So Bill Conley is the guy that wrote the article taking the national football rankings, the college rankings, from I think as far back as like 1979 and putting it in the CFP format. And Bill, by the way, if there is a quote unquote authority of the college football playoff processing, also a guy who's an expert in the BCS history, understands those ins and outs as well. He's somebody that I think you'll get a lot of it. In fact, I'll retweet it, put the hashtag Packer and Durham on it so everybody can have a look at it. But it's a really, really informative piece. You got some time this weekend getting ready for the ball game on Monday night. You want to read about how college football history fits.
And if the playoff was in play.
Yeah.
You know, 25,
there'd be some sensational
35.
Games,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Some sensational games.
Can you imagine if it went to eight teams? Wes, how unbelievable it would be.
Feeling a little better? No. Okay. You ready for Barker Bite? You willing to do ready. Barker Bite?
Been waiting on it.
No, you haven't. You've been sitting over there just
ready to go,
thinking about your next elixir.
Well, I'm looking for some suggestions that involve something other than, again, lemon, hot water, honey,
and needles,
bourbon, or needles, or it's chicken soup. You eliminate all those and you come up with one. All Let me know.
Also, more of your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN on Clemson Now, Florida State of the 90s. And Brandon Childress will join us in the Power Hour.
You know what, though? Getting back to our original thing real quick, I know we got to go to the break. We are really blessed, though, as ACC fans, to have seen the Bowden era enter the ACC and now watch what Dabo has done during the college football playoff era. I mean, you know, there's certain leagues that, you know, we're a football league, but, you know, this has always been known as a basketball league.
Right.
But to have two, I mean, epic dynasties happen here with Florida State for an extended period of time and what Dabo's done this decade, pretty special.
I agree totally. Yeah. When we come back, five, maybe even six questions of Barker Bite, some involved Virginia Boston College tonight on ACC Network. Others involve Virginia Tech Syracuse tonight on ACC Network. And no telling what the surprise sixth question will be. Packer and Durham, ACC Network, ESPN app, SiriusXM 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network. Streaming live on your ESPN app. You've also got us on SiriusXM channel 371.
Three games tonight in the ACC. Miami at Louisville, by the way. Interested to see how the Cards handle that. Coming off the loss to
Florida
State. I think
the Cards will be fired up tonight.
Virginia. You know,
the game of the three tonight, Virginia Tech Syracuse is the one.
9 o'clock.
To eyeball.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Miami Louisville, by the way, ESPN2 tonight, 7 o'clock. Reese Davis, John Crispin, Brooke Riceboro will be at Yum Center. And then the ACC Network doubleheader. Virginia at Boston College. Jim Christian's team has not played in a week since the loss at Duke. And Virginia Tech at Syracuse.
And to say that they played at Duke would be probably a reach.
They were there for about 10 minutes. They were there for about 10 minutes.
I watched you.
10 minutes. Cheers.
And all of a sudden it got ugly in a hurry.
Matthew Hurt started knocking threes down. Okay, you ready?
Let's
bark or bite?
All right, let's do it.
Let's get the camera hot and running. Lumberjacks, Josh Macri on the left. And Drew Brooks on the right.
Yep.
You guys look good this morning.
Lumberjacks,
Lumberjack
it.
Quality. Where's young Fagan in the back? Is he on the back row back there?
Back here.
Yeah.
Show your face.
Yeah, John. John has said that I look like Vector from Despicable Me with my Adidas sweat jacket on. Nice job, John. Appreciate you.
John getting it done on the back row.
Yeah, John hammering away at the talent.
Along with Hank and Lewis.
So what else you got, Drew? Anything before we get started here? Before Macri takes the stage?
Do you agree with John?
Hey, look, I just put it on. I wasn't looking for comparisons to animated film.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Okay, it's funny. Let's go with it. It's funny.
All right. Anyway, enough with the humor. Let's get to barking or biting. Bark or bite. At least six ACC teams will make the NCAA tournament this year.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to bite. I'm biting on six. Somebody will emerge here in the next 2 months to join the five, I think, that are going to be in it. But I will say this, Wes. The number is lower than what I had a month and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. In that my first reaction to this is I'll bite, but I really hope somebody doesn't have to win one or two in Greensboro.
Well, you may have to.
That's what I'm thinking.
You may have to. I think there's five that are going to be okay, assuming everybody stays relatively healthy. And
who are those five? Duke, Virginia, Florida State, Louisville.
I think those are right there.
Okay. And NC State?
Mm-hmm. Okay. NC State, I still trust. I told you the other day, sometimes NC State just doesn't get nice things. I think they're going to win enough games to get in. And I think there'll be one other team that will get hot and join the mix.
I'm going to offer you Notre Dame.
That could be.
Because the Irish have okay wins. They have okay wins, not great wins. So I'm going to offer Notre Dame. Now, here's the thing.
What happens when Cole Anthony comes back? You think North Carolina can take off?
Ooh. You know what I'm worried about Carolina? I'm worried about Carolina scoring the ball.
Well, I mean, that was a problem before he got, you know, before all this nonsense.
If Carolina's going to make a move, it's going to start this week.
It better be Wednesday.
They play Pitt twice in 10 days, by the way.
Good backcourt. Coming off of just an awful effort. Let's be honest. They were bad, bad, bad in the first half against Georgia Tech.
The thing that concerns you about Carolina, and I don't think I'm breaking any news here, Carolina is shooting 42% from the floor in conference play. Now, the opponents are shooting 42%, but Carolina is shooting 35% from three, and in three conference games, they've only made 17 threes. Compared to Louisville, who's made 20. In fact, there's also 17 threes is tied for the lowest mark in the ACC with Virginia.
There's also the safety net, which is Clemson in Chapel Hill on the weekend.
I hear you, but still.
Just saying.
All right, we're biting, though, Josh, to answer your question.
Yes.
We're okay. Biting.
Two bites. Let's see if there are two bites on this one. Florida State, of course, getting into the top 10 yesterday at number 10. So bark or bite that the Noles will be the last ACC team to make a debut in the top 10 this season.
Bite.
Yeah, I had to go back and look this up.
Bite, bite, bite.
To make sure. Carolina was in the top 10, and Florida State will be the last top 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody even close to can get to the top 10.
Yeah. Carolina got as high as 5, by the way.
That was early.
Yep, sure was. So, yeah, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Carolina, Virginia.
That's it.
That's it.
Nobody else can get to the top 10.
Even Syracuse, Josh. Be a hard strike.
Oh, yeah. Like going out on a limb there, huh?
Just call me Vector.
Yeah. Yeah, Wes finally makes a stance. Syracuse struggling. Thanks. All right, next one, bark or bite. So Boston College is averaging 66 a game this season. Bark or bite, they'll break a 50-burger tonight at home against the Wahoos.
Bark. They will not see 50 tonight. They will not score 50.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. You know, after Virginia Tech put the 39 number up, thinking they could make some threes, that didn't work out. Yeah, I think you're right.
I will tell you this. If Boston College is going to score more than 50, the old Gene Hackman offense is not going to work tonight. The pass off five times before you shoot, that's not going to work.
Probably
you're going to have to get them in transition. You're going to have to get secondary cranked up. You're going to have to get first window shoot. And Stephon Mitchell's going to have to do some of that. By the way.
All right. Here's the bonus for you. You teased it. Bark or bite that the Hoos will make more threes than there will be missed questions on that Jeopardy GOAT tournament this evening.
Now, I know
you like that, Pack, huh?
I do like that. I'm a Jeopardy guy. You're talking about three all-timers now tonight. How many questions will they miss?
Is that Holthauser cat going to be on there?
Yes, he's one of the three.
That guy didn't miss at all.
And the Jennings dude's going to be there.
Oh, that guy's there too? Well, who's the third cat?
Some guy from Elon. I'm going to say those guys, I'm not sure they're going to miss a single question. They may not miss a single question. So I'm going to say Virginia will make more threes.
Than they'll miss?
Than they will miss questions on the greatest of all time on Jeopardy tonight.
I'm going to count on y'all for the analytics on this tomorrow because I won't see a second of that show.
I'll watch that tonight. I'll have that on.
I will not see a second of that.
UVA, by the way, made 4 last time they hit the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, Virginia will make more threes than misses tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Virginia will make more threes than misses.
Yeah. Those dudes will just rattle, and they're going to. Alex Trebek might as well just take the day off like I am.
He's going to throw questions out there. Correct.
And Alex is a professional.
He is a professional.
Right. Elon man, for 1,000, Alex.
Hebrew word for oak. What is Elon?
Couple more here, rapid fire, fellas.
It's in the New York Times crossword all the time.
All right, when Packer
you know,
covers,
when these people were nice enough to let me graduate in May of 1988, they had no idea how much value they were going to get from me being an alum. Hebrew word for oak. What is Hebrew word for oak?
I think from this
Alex, the answer is Elon.
I think from this point forward on this show.
What?
Hear me out, if you can. If any words are coming out. I think from this point forward, anytime you want to bring up your alma mater, you don't say Elon. You just say
Hebrew word for oak?
Yeah, that's we know who that team is. Yeah, the mighty Hebrew word for oak.
No, mighty Elon.
No, man. No,
we're moving on. Mighty Elon.
All right, what's next before we get hurt?
From
we're
your
at the
alma
top
mater
of the hour.
West.
We're blowing right through yeah, the top of the hour with this excellent programming.
We are. From your alma mater West to mine, we love talking about Syracuse and can't lose matchups. Last time they had one, it was against Georgia Tech. They almost put up a C note. So bark or bite, tonight's Virginia Tech-Syracuse matchup is can't lose for both teams.
Bit of a bark. That's a bit of a bark.
That's a bark.
That's a bark.
It's January the 7th.
Look at Jalen Cohn knocking down threes.
We only got 16 more conference games. Now, if you're at home, you got to hold serve. I get all that. But Syracuse played well in the loss against Notre Dame. I said that the other day. It was one of the best games I've seen this year.
Right.
Notre Dame-Syracuse.
Yep.
So if Cuse plays like they did against Notre Dame, they'll be all right. And if the Hokies play like they did against Virginia, Cuse will blow them out of the water.
There you go.
But okay. We'll see.
Finally, right. Bark or bite, Notre Dame's issues on the women's side are more easily solvable than the Tar Heels' issues on the men's side in the ACC.
What?
That wasn't supposed to be funny. A serious question.
Notre Dame's issues will be fixed when Muffet's new recruiting class comes in.
So next
which
year.
Is a year from now.
When will Carolina's be fixed?
Well, when
Cole Anthony?
When Cole Anthony comes back, it'll help.
What if he doesn't?
Then he'll have to wait. Then we'll have to wait for Roy's recruiting class next year.
Okay. So it's a bit of a bark.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. It's a bark.
All right. There's where we are.
I got to be honest with you, though, it is very strange to watch Notre Dame's women's team just
struggle.
Just like pulling teeth, man. They just nothing's easy. And same thing with North Carolina. We've been talking about it ad nauseum for 6 weeks watching North Carolina try to score. It's just been a weird year.
It is.
Really
weird all around.
Yep.
All right. Good edition of Barker Bite. Put yourself down for time and a half, Macri.
Yes,
we blew right over the top of the hour. So we're into the power hour. Brandon Childress will join us here in this hour. Looking forward to talking to the weight guard. And he's one of our people. You know why? Son of somebody.
That's it.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Brandon Childress, ask him if he's ever been called Junior. Anyway.
Say what? His dad in the ACC tournament put on one of the all-time shows.
Yeah, he did.
In
1995.
Greensboro. In Greensboro.
Took it
lit
to the
that
next
place
level.
Up.
Level.
Sure did.
Thursday night here on ACC Network, we've got women's basketball and a good one. Pam Ward, Debbie Antonelli will be at the Watsco Center for Katie Meyer's Miami Hurricanes and number 7 Louisville. 8 o'clock right here on ACC Network. 844-SAY-ACCN. We're going to get to more of your calls on Clemson, Florida State as we start the Power Hour. Brandon Childress will be here. Plus, we got a treat for you. The College Football 150 been a big part of our celebration of football this year on the Platform of Networks. We're going to show you some of those vignettes that are tied to the ACC when Packer and Durham continue.